All right, welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I'm Blair Morrison.
And I am Ben Alderman. We are sitting here across from each other at Blair Morrison's Casa. Pretty pimp little place here.
Oh, thanks, dude. This is the Outpost Studio.
Yeah.
This is the Outpost Studio, just in case we, occasionally need a change of scenery from the Iron Mouth Studio or the Anywhere Studio.
We definitely need a change of scenery. This is perfect.
This dining room table, yeah. Chandelier.
Exactly.
Expensive art.
Dude, the chandelier, I didn't even notice it. That's awesome.
Not that expensive art.
So, the Pope's in town. Not really, but he's in America.
Not in our town.
No.
But he's in our country code.
Yeah, he's in the U.S. He's in New York today.
He's in the plus 01.
I know. I actually watched quite a bit of, like, his speeches and his touring around, I guess.
When he was at Congress the other day?
Yeah, watched that. And I watched his, had, like, that witness to peace or whatever they're calling it today, and there was probably like 12 different dignitaries from different religions, you know, Hinduism, Buddhism, you know, Jewish, Catholic, you know, different faiths, and they were all hanging out and kind of giving their statement to the union about peace.
Was that the UN?
Yeah, that was the UN.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that, but I saw it come across like the news feed. I did catch some of it on, I was listening to NPR yesterday, and I did catch like the live feed of his speech in the morning to the House and Senate. And at first I was like, cause he was doing it in English, but a really, really thick accented English.
Yeah.
And I was having a really hard time, especially over the radio, understanding exactly what was being said. And it took me a minute to figure out who was talking. For a second, I was like, "Why are they? What
is
they playing
so important
this?
Here?" Yeah,
like,
you know what's
person?
Funny is with accents. Sometimes it's like once you get used to it, you can kind of understand it better. You know, like, what is this?
Oh, yeah.
What is the accent I'm hearing right now? Oh, this is like a really thick whatever, and then all of a sudden you can kind of understand much
right.
better.
Your brain adjusts and kind of fills in the
it's
in
what
the
you're hearing. Yeah. So this brings up a good topic, one that you mentioned, and I guess one that's kind of something that I kind of embody or in a sense, but religion within the confines of sports.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thing. I'm not as religious as you are, but
that's like saying you're not as quad dominant as I am.
Cause who is that what you're saying? Yeah. But I feel like, it's very, very, sports has become so visual now, like because of high definition TV and coverage and all these things with football and basketball and even like World Cup soccer and the Olympics, that athletes have a huge platform to make statements, whether they be political or religious or moral ethical statements, or everybody's a role model now, like whether they want to be or not. And like the question of religion in sports or religion in the kind of the public sector becomes, it becomes a very obvious thing, right? And I think there's a lot of people out there that don't like it. They think that that's kind of an issue for, private belief,
right? Kind of
private,
keep that in your home or in your church or,
right?
Whatever,
right?
You do.
And there's a lot of people that believe that, no, this is the perfect place for this. This is who I am. If I'm going to express my athletic prowess, part of that is my religious belief. But I don't know. I think it's kind of a touchy subject with a lot of people, but I mean, you have a stance on it, and I'm kind of curious how that came about for you, how it kind of blends from your family into your athletic career.
Well, that's kind of, it's not necessarily a loaded question. It's just got there's a lot of backstory to that. So, there's a part of me that totally agrees with probably the majority, which feels like maybe if you're religious, kind of keep that to yourself. Like, there's a part of me that actually identifies with that. Like, I don't want to hear from it. It's kind of like when you hear from a celebrity who gets super political, like an actor or an actress, and they start coming out and they start, backing like a political, figure, or really, really hot political debate or a dividing issue.
Uh-huh.
And then they're like, well, I get paid $10 million to do movies, so now I have a platform and I'm an expert on, whatever it might be, whatever you know, controversial topic there is. So,
right. It feels like they're trying to sell you something.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So in a sense, I don't like it when athletes feel like they're almost like selling their religion to you. And because they're good at sports, they're therefore an expert in, you know, how you should think or you should believe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it. Because I've always wondered why, you know, when I see some athletes do it, so that it kind of rubs me the wrong way. And I could never really put my finger on it, but I think that's kind of what it is. It's like, okay, well, just because you're good at football, why does that make you good at what I should think?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Right. Yeah, you can carry the pigskin, so all of a sudden you're an expert on like where I'm going wrong in my thinking, or you're all of a sudden, I don't know, if you're a Christian, you're the Holy Spirit for me, and you're supposed to tell me what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to live.
Right.
That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So for me, the things that make us individuals, the way people think, it's really important to me that people can think the way they want to think, right? And people can act the way they want to act within reason, right? Like there's obviously laws set up for a reason. There's a moral code that I think all of us have that we don't violate for obvious reasons. But there's, I mean, people got to have to be able to be individuals, right? So for me, though, I am still very outspoken about my faith. And I think that if I'm trying to really boil it down, is if somebody's going to ask me what makes me tick or what makes me do what I do or what motivates me, I'm going to be really clear that I think God put me on this earth right now, at this point in time anyway, to do CrossFit, you know, to compete. Someday he could close that door. I mean, I could get injured. I could do something, you know, ridiculous, like snatch my body weight, you know, 60 days after surgery, you know what I mean? And eliminate myself, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be, God doing it.
Right.
But it, you know, right now, that's why I feel like I'm here. And so if people are going to ask me, that's what I'm going to say. You know, if people want to, do I think
it's, but if somebody's going to ask you, hey Ben, how did that event feel? Like, how did it go in that workout? Like, what's your response to that going to be? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to thank God. And the second thing I'm going to do is like, no,
okay. That's not where I'm at. Like, you know,
cause that's what a lot of like post game interviews look like, mm-hmm. you know, in major sports.
Yeah. That's really funny to me. I mean, you even see it like on the MTV, like Music Awards, right? You got like a rapper walks up. He's like, I'd like to thank God, you know, and for my, you know, he won a song that's like all about like, I mean, drinking and like smacking around girls or, you know, what I mean, whatever, you know what I mean? And, it's kind of funny when people try to like identify with religion or with their belief system. I think that for me, within a workout, I don't pray within a workout. I don't, you know, I'm not like, God, get me through this. I mean, there are probably times and situations where I'm like, all right, God, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I got to get through this and I'm hurting. So help me out. But for the most part, that's reserved for like regionals or, you know, like very few times. And actually mostly probably when I'm doing a long workout by myself and I end up outside underneath a yoke or something and I'm trying to get back under it, you know, something like that. But for the most part, I'm not that guy who's, you know, God first for sure, but it's not, I don't know how to explain it.
Well, I think what you're getting at, or at least what I'm hearing is that God is first for you, and it's not important that, well, that's not what I want to say. God is first for you, and he's always first for you, and it doesn't matter how many times you say it out loud. It's not changing. It's not making him more first for you,
right?
Whereas I think the impression outsiders get when they see celebrities or athletes in particular that are so outspoken at every given opportunity, it's like that the athlete is trying to convince God that he's first for him.
Yeah.
So he's going to keep saying it as often as possible.
Right.
And that just doesn't ring true to a lot of people.
Oh, I think that's the case, because a lot of us are in love with our spouse, but every waking moment that we are at our work or at our job, that's the same thing, at our job, we don't, somebody's like, hey, how's that assignment? And you're like, well, you know, I was doing it for my wife and, you know, I love her, you know?
You don't do that?
I mean, who would do that?
I mean, I pretty much say I love my wife to every single person that I meet.
Right. Yeah. You're coaching class, right?
Yeah.
People are like, that was a great class. Well, you know what? Jen is awesome.
Yeah.
I just want, first and foremost, I want to thank Jen for being an awesome woman who I love. You know, and so for me, like, I feel like that too. I feel like people are using religion in a way to either make people think some certain way about them, or honestly, they feel like they're trying to make God think some certain way about them.
Or they're
them.
Trying to convince themselves.
Exactly, or they're convincing themselves. I mean, I'll have a religious discussion with somebody, and this is kind of one of my pet peeves, is I'll talk with somebody about what I think truth is, and that's like a very... that's a word that has a lot of subjectivity to it, you know, and it's not very objective. I believe in objective truth, right? Like, I believe in something that's not subject to my interpretation. I believe I could be wrong about things, and I'm willing to talk with people about that. But when somebody asks me about a workout or, you know, my performance at regionals or whatever, I typically don't pontificate about, you know, God. If that makes sense.
Right. Do you feel like, I mean, cause it's in CrossFit as well. There's a lot of the top athletes are very religious, and
that's frustrating because, you know, I feel like God does like to put people, and this is me speaking more with my, you know, like, this is how I really think. I think that God likes to put people in certain areas because he, you know, he says he puts light into the world. And so, like, how does he get light into CrossFit? Well, he puts Rich Froning where he is. It gives Rich Froning a skill set, and Rich Froning works really freaking hard and just gives it all back to God, right? He does it every year at the CrossFit Games. It doesn't come across to me as contrived or false or anything like that. It comes across as real and candid. But
I would agree with that. I don't think Rich is one of those athletes.
And the reason why it's frustrating for me is because I'm like, well, I'm a Christian. And so God obviously doesn't need me at the top of the CrossFit Games. So that's frustrating for me. So I'm jealous of the position that in some ways that God has put Rich. So there you have it. But in some ways I'm totally content.
Yeah. I remember we had Andrea Eger on the show a few months ago. And one of the big things she was talking about with her, with FaithRx is the spreading of the word, right? And I know that's a big piece of a lot of Christian religions. I don't know about Muslim or Hindu religions or other things like that, but spreading the faith or spreading the word, that's a part of the Christian faith. And do you think that some of these athletes, that's their motivation for being so outspoken?
Yeah, I do. I think there is that. I think there's a lot of times, where athletes really are trying to live out what they feel like God has told them to do. And that's part of that whole convincing thing that you're saying, right? Like, it's part of that. But in part, it could be coming from a really good place. Like in the Christian religion, Christian faith, like, we believe that the word has more power than the individual, in a sense, right? Like, I can't change Blair Morrison's mind, but if I take him to the Word of God, he can see something that's bigger than Ben Alderman, right? He can see something more important than Ben Alderman, something with eternal value in a greater sense than Ben Alderman, right? So why am I going to just go, oh, you want to talk about God? Well, let me tell you about me, right? And so I think that there is, that's not necessarily a contradiction. You know, in a sense, I feel like that's what some of those athletes are doing for sure.
Yeah. And I think what you said before about how truth, you know, can be objective, mm-hmm. or a lot of truths should be objective. Like, the word or the message is almost always subjective.
Right.
It's like what the person needs to hear at a given moment that they could hear the same exact, like, think about this when you're coaching, right? You could say the same cue to an athlete 50 times, right. Same thing. Like, no early arm pull. Say it like 100 different ways, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, some visiting coach or, you know, somebody else comes up or another member comes up and tells that person the exact same thing in just a slightly different way. Or maybe they were just ready to hear it.
Yeah, maybe they're ready to hear it.
And all of a sudden, like, now their arms aren't bending and they're like just pulling straight under the bar and it looks beautiful. And you're like, yo, what the hell?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like, I've been trying to get you to do that for 6 months.
That's what my pastor always says. He's like, what the hell, bro? Just kidding. But yeah, exactly. No, what you're talking about is so true, because the reality is if I follow that analogy a little bit further, the analogy is, hey, if I say it one way versus when somebody else says it another way, it's going to be received differently. And
right.
That's very true. That's very true. But the reality is that person still needed to stop early arm pulling, right? That was the objective truth within that. The subjectivity
right.
was in the delivery, right? So I think that that's where Christians get so caught up. And I don't mean caught up necessarily in a bad way. I think it's kind of like living out that biblical truth, is that they need to get the word out as much as possible, because the reality is Christians really do believe that sin is separated us from God. And so they're like, hey, we need to tell as many people that, and we need to tell people that Jesus is the remedy for that. And so the more times they hear it, eventually it's like the early arm pull.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
hopefully
so,
somebody says it in a way that clicks.
Yeah, exactly. So the subjectivity would come into how it said. Right.
Right.
So there you have it.
Oh, there you have it.
There you have it.
I think in general, like when I was listening to what a lot of the Pope was saying, I thought it was very cool him being in front of both Republicans and Democrats, which, you know, we see as very polarized and kind of infighting and petty disagreements over issues that we really should be more in agreement on.
Right.
Find common ground. And that's kind of what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously he has stances on abortion that are not shared by the left.
Yeah.
And he has stance on immigration that's not shared by the right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's interesting to have a figure like that whose sole purpose, right, for talking is peace
yeah.
and acceptance, and that he can be speaking about political issues that one side agrees with him here and then the other side agrees with him there. And what I got out of that was that everybody, if you're an athlete, if you're a spectator watching an athlete, no matter what they're saying or who they are, you can probably find some common ground with them somewhere.
Yeah.
And that we need to focus on the commonalities rather than the differences, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least give more time
mm-hmm.
to the commonalities rather than the differences. Because I feel like we're wired exactly the opposite. I feel
right.
like we are wired to seek out the differences and like try to differentiate ourselves from other people. Like, we want to think of ourselves as unique, as special, right? That's kind of just the way you survive.
It's kind of human nature.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when you see somebody who is discussing a belief that maybe you don't share, or you're unsure that you share, or you believe something really strongly and somebody else is like, oh, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, the effort needs to be on not on identifying the things that you're different in, but the things that you do share.
Right. So you've been a father for how long?
Yeah, it feels like forever.
It feels like forever. I know. You're an expert now. We talked about
like
this.
Not even a month,
okay,
but it feels like forever.
So you guys hear how deep Blair Morrison is getting right now, and he's only been a father for a month. This is great. This is cool. So
this has nothing to do with that.
I know.
This
I'm
has
just
nothing
kidding.
To do with
we never
that.
Have talked about this before on the show, and you brought it. You brought up religion. You brought
well,
the Pope
came to town.
You know it's
just,
perfect. It's perfect.
This is good timing. I did see the Pope not this Pope, but the previous Pope when I was living in
John Paul. Was it John Paul or is that his
no?
Name?
Who's after John Paul?
Oh.
Benedict, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's who that is.
He came to D.C. when I was living there in like 2008.
Bulletproof casing.
Oh, dude, just
yeah.
cruising around town in the little Pope mobile.
That's different than this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's much more.
He's in a Fiat.
Yeah.
Like, there's a cavalcade
the
of
climate change,
black Suburbans
yeah.
like off the tarmac when he arrived, and he's in a little red Fiat.
It's perfect.
Love it. Love it.
He's got style. So he not only has a message, but he's got some style.
He's got style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is you have these other athletes in other sports, but I think that the cool thing about it is I do still think that we live in a cool country where people can have an opinion and have an opinion about other people's opinion. And so that's pretty cool. I just hate when people get crucified, so to speak, for having an opinion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whether it's a belief system or whether it's anti-belief system, it seems like sometimes certain sides, and before I make this a political show, I think certain sides sometimes get silenced rather than being able to express themselves the same way that other sides do. And so I think in sports sometimes it's nice that almost everyone has a voice, right? You have your guys who are just like, you know, whatever. And then you have guys who are like, oh, I'm a Christian or I'm this or I'm that, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's cool that sports is entertainment. That's what it comes down to. That's why there's a market for it. And, you know, people are allowed to be themselves. I mean, they may get criticized for it, like an opinion about their opinion, but it's not going to take away their livelihood, right? It's not going to take them off the field. I mean, Tim Tebow is a great example, right? Tebow is an interesting guy too, because his faith is so well known that he doesn't have to talk about it, right? It just follows him. And basically all he does when he goes on TV and is interviewed is just be a really good guy.
Yeah.
He's just a really good guy, right? And that's what everybody always says about him. Like, hey, he's not the best like pro football player. Like, he's maybe not good enough to be an NFL quarterback, but he's such a good human being. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he's, you know, uber religious and really, you know, Christian in his faith doesn't really come up as much. It's just odd, kind of assumed. It's already known.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that's really cool. I like that
aspect of Tim Tebow. Obviously, you know, we share faith, but I like that aspect of the way he carries himself. I feel like that's a much better route to go rather than, you know, every time somebody sticks a microphone in your face, you know, you cut them off. Like, first off, I like to praise God. It's like, that's cool, but that wasn't the question, bro. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There was a whole different question that you were teed up to answer, and you answered something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, but hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Athletes are athletes.
I think the reason we're talking about this
people.
Is partly because we're in the off season for CrossFit right now.
We got to find something to talk about.
Yeah, we got to find something to talk about. The Pope comes to town. We want to talk about Pope stuff.
But it is. It's an interesting topic.
No, it absolutely is an interesting topic. It's a great topic. The other thing is, you know, speaking of the off season, you know, athletes tend to spend their time doing different things in the off season, right? Like they don't necessarily all, you know, sit there and do open style workouts, you know, 5 days a week, multiple times a day.
You mean like they go out and purchase RVs?
What? No.
What?
No. What?
That's insane.
That's insane. I'm only 33. I'm not going to drive an RV. Okay. I did that. No, we got an RV. We actually got an RV, and it's going to be part RV, part Beyond the Barbell Mobile. So it'll be great. We're going to start doing this stuff on the road. We'll be able to take it, and we'll be able to interview guests in our studio, which will
mobile
be
studio.
Mobile studio, which will be the RV, which will be really, really cool.
That'll become the Outpost studio.
Yeah, that'll be the fun one.
But, yeah, I mean, I think athletes do get a little bit stir crazy in the off season, like when you're, especially people that are very competitive, that are, you know, knocking on the door to get to regionals or knocking on the door to get to the games. It's like, it's almost like the day the off season starts or the day the season ends, you just can't wait for it to start again. So like, what are you going to do with all that downtime? And there's different philosophies out there, I think, on what to focus on. I mean, probably the prevailing thing in CrossFit is to hammer your weaknesses, right? Just figure out what you're not good at and train the hell out of it. Mm-hmm. But we've been seeing a lot of people this year, at least it seems, kind of taking a break from CrossFit training and going into like a set, either a lifting program or a set gymnastics program, saying, okay, if that's my weakness, if that's something that I'm going to get better at, I need to do just that.
Right.
And I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I feel like there is a lot of people doing that. I think it's a lot of the athletes who are the up and comers trying to figure out how to get to the next level, or maybe what is really happening is they don't have the focus necessarily needed to get to the next level. And so they divide their time by doing pretty well at other things such as gymnastics. I don't think there's anybody who's, you know, 30, you know, 1 or 27 going into a gymnastics meet of any kind, but I feel like the prevailing one would be like, cause they would get worked, but the prevailing sport or option outside of CrossFit that people do is weightlifting. You know, I think there's a lot of people who decide to do, you know, I'm going to clean and jerk and snatch. I've been doing it all year at 50% of my one rep max, and I'm going to spend some time cause I think I'd be pretty good at this.
Right. So you're saying that maybe it's not necessarily to improve themselves for the next CrossFit season, but because they just think it would be fun to do something different. And even if that's to their detriment as a CrossFit athlete, you know, it's worth it for those people.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's
mentally, maybe they need a mental break.
Well, I think there's probably a lot of people who've come to you and said things like, hey, I want to go to the games, or I want to go to regionals, or how do I get better? And I mean, a lot of times people need to get stronger, but I've never prescribed for somebody to go to regionals the next year to clean and jerk and snatch, you know, like I've never prescribed that as their solution to make it to the top 20. Is that what they take now? Top 20?
Yeah.
From our region. You know, I've never prescribed that as like, oh, well, you know what, dude, you have no weaknesses except for your clean and jerk and snatch, so I want you to go join a weightlifting gym. You know, like I've never had that as a prescription, because you see people like Josh Bridges, perennial games athlete, you know, Chris Spieler, who competed at the games until he didn't want to anymore, right? And these guys aren't great weightlifters. They're just conditioning machines.
Right.
So I don't think that it's a great prescription for somebody to try to break through their next level in CrossFit.
What about this? What about the athlete who is all conditioning, all raw capacity, but no technique?
For that person, I think a weightlifting program would probably be pretty good.
Right. Maybe they're not knocking on the door, but the next step in their evolution is to harness the strength that they have, right, yeah, into a proper weightlifting movement. Because, I mean, if you look at the numbers, like, you are going to have to snatch. You're going to have to clean and jerk in order to make it at least once, if not multiple times, through the open and regionals. Mm-hmm. So I think, while maybe like somebody like my, like me,
right,
where my weakness in the sport is strength.
Yeah.
Like me joining a weightlifting gym and doing just weightlifting probably isn't going to be the best move for me, you know, even though, right, those are my weaknesses.
Yeah.
Like, just because if I raise my one rep maxes by, to even say like 20 pounds,
right,
like it's going to cost me so much in all the other areas that are important, yeah, that it wouldn't be worth it. I would get worse as a CrossFitter. I do think that it may be the case for someone who's, let's say, I don't know, maybe a little bit younger, a little less, not quite as high a level, who's got a lot of potential, but just doesn't know how to do it yet. Right. Right?
Maybe, and like, somebody's like very raw.
Yeah.
Very raw. Yeah. I think that's maybe a good way to apply that. You know, a lot of times when you're talking about, though, the conditioned person who comes to you and it's like, hey, I wanted to go to the next level. You're like, man, your weightlifting really sucks. And you're going to, you know, prescribe them, presumably, clean and jerks, snatches, squats, deadlifts, right?
Right.
Within moderation, though, because they've got conditioning, but they don't have any idea how to do that. So most of that stuff is going to be able to be handled by their CrossFit coach. They're not going to need to seek out specialty weightlifting coaching, right? They're not going to need to drive to Coach Bergner's garage and, you know, spend weeks and weeks and weeks with him, because they're so like low level that.
Right. I totally agree with that. I think most CrossFit coaches, if it's a good coach, is a good enough weightlifting coach to teach you to weightlift for CrossFit.
Yeah.
I think where the rub comes in is it's hard to get somebody to dedicate to doing what they need to do and only that, without separating them from the environment. So, great example. So I have athletes at my gym who are very good at weightlifting, and I have athletes at my gym that are very good at Metcons. So this off season, this summer, I wrote our competitors program with kind of highlighted sections of the Excel document.
Like, if you're this person, you should do this.
Right. And that person do that. But guess what everybody wants to do?
The Metcon?
They want to do what they're good at already.
Oh, they want to do what they're good at.
So they see it on the program, mm-hmm, and they see other people doing it, and they get jealous.
Yeah.
And they want to. It's like, now I'm your coach, and if your stated goal to me is to improve and qualify for the regionals, right, or qualify for the games or make the team, like, I'm going to give you the best way to get there that I know how, and that's what I've done. But who am I to tell you, like, that you need to be miserable for the next 6 months if you don't want to be miserable. It's like the person, the athlete who is, they really have to decide how much they want that end goal and how much, you know, quote unquote fun they're willing to give up in order to get there, to have fun at the end. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's easier if they just separate from the environment where there's so much, you know, temptation to deviate. Cause what I keep telling everybody is that you only have, your body only has so much energy. You only have so much gas in the tank. You can't get great at everything at the same time, right?
That's impossible.
It's impossible. Yeah. So if you know that you have limitations with time.
That's why I tried to fail certain classes in high school. Yeah. And then I could do really good in other ones.
So if you know you have certain limitations with time and energy and, like, you know, you got a family or whatever, like everybody's got lives outside of the gym. You know, and it's okay, your stated goal is to improve and you want to focus on this one area in the off season. You have time to really make big strides there, but you just can't keep getting out of your own way, you know?
Dude, I have so many athletes like that.
It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to fix that.
Right.
No. Like, 'cause I, as a coach, I don't want to be sitting there just yelling at you all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel like I do that with some of my athletes. The, you know, I think that that's a good point. I think that people really want to do what they're good at. And then when they don't, it's almost like a blow to their ego, you know, to watch other people start to maybe gain on them.
Right.
Right. Like that's tough. And then for them to work at something and have like a rough day, you know, and then watch everybody else doing, say, I don't know, whatever, rope climbs, and you love rope climbs, you know, man, I would crush these guys at this workout, but I'm stuck over here, you know, snatching, and my overhead mobility is terrible.
Pause front squatting forever.
Yeah, exactly, right? And people are getting really, really pissed. And then you come together in a Metcon, and, you know, the Metcon's got like three movements that you don't like, and all of a sudden you're just like, this training day is horrible, and
right,
you're kind of over it.
Yeah.
You know? But then your said goal to everyone else is still to make the 2016 regional, right? And that's a little bit of an oxymoron.
Yeah, it's a struggle. I think it's a really, even though the off season, I think for a lot of people treat it as a break. And if you treat it as a break, then there's a lot less pressure on you to improve, right? You're just like, hey, I'm letting my body recover. I'm going to relax. I'm going to enjoy this. And then, you know, come October, November, now I'm going to start like ramping things up and trying to like make gains or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But for the people that are just eager beavers and ready to start right away, it can be a long off season, you know, yeah. A long season. You have more time to get better, like more time to increase capacity or strength or flexibility or technique or whatever it is. But I mean, it can be mentally draining. So
I feel like that's a lot of times what people just aren't willing to do. Right. Like there's just not, there's that grind, that time where it's not fun stuff. Like nobody cares if you can, you know, if you're a guy, if you can pause front squat, you know, 215 for three, like that's not very much weight, right? If you're trying to be a competitive athlete. So that's not fun to put on Instagram, you know, but if you're like the guy who can do 27 muscle-ups in a row, and as your coach, I don't let you do that. You have nothing to throw up on Instagram, right? You have nothing to throw up on Facebook or social media. You have no way to get a pat on the back, right? Like it's just the grind, and people don't like that aspect of our sport. So that's why they tend to do what they're good at.
They want pats on the back.
They want pats on the back. We all do, right? But some of us are willing to sacrifice the small pats on the back for the larger accomplished goal and then the pat on the back that maybe you've worked a little bit harder for.
Yeah, that's true. That's one thing that when we've spoken with people on this show, high-level athletes, I mean, they're all describing really hard days where they feel they don't feel good, they don't feel accomplished, and they just, those are the days that they remember. At the end, it's like, man, I just had, there's so many days where I just showed up and just had to do 50 muscle ups and like, I didn't want to do it and I suck at them and it took me, you know, 40 minutes or whatever it took.
Yeah.
You know, but those are the days they look back on and say, that's why I am where I am.
Right. I mean, I think that nobody really wants to watch a video of me doing 100 burpees, you know, but I've done 100 burpees in the last, you know, 20 days. I've probably done it 11 days. Out of the last 20, you know?
You probably did it in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Since we've been sitting here.
I know. I was thinking about it.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. I do 10 burpees while you're talking every time. So, but, you know, people don't like to see that. They don't like the grind it takes. Like, for me as a bigger athlete, like, burpees are always hard. And so, like, for me to take a six-month break from burpees is not a good idea. You know? Like, I'm going to have a real hard time, you know, at regionals, you know, when I go against somebody with a motor, you know, even if the weight's heavy, because I'm going to be so slow on the dang burpees, you know. So it's like, do more burpees, you know. If you suck at something, do more of that. But, you know, to what you're speaking of, the off season. So obviously with me, it's a little bit more of a complex situation because of my shoulder, right, and trying to repair that and heal and get better. So I am focusing a little bit on getting stronger again, which is kind of fun. So I'm doing a lot of weightlifting right now. I'm actually following a weightlifting program right now. And, I mean, as I was driving, I looked up what I would have to have as my qualifying numbers to qualify for the American Open for weightlifting, you know, and at 204 pounds.
When is that?
Well, the American Open, I think, is in December.
December. Okay, so there's still some time.
Yeah, but I think if locally or close, I'd have like one more shot to really go if I wanted to. I'd have to snatch 275 and clean and jerk 341 if I weighed 205 pounds, which are both really attainable numbers for me. Like, I
guess, if you're healthy.
If I'm healthy. Like, I could power clean and push jerk 345 and have no problems and get green lights or thumbs up for that. And then the 275 snatch, I mean, I've power snatched that multiple times. So there's part of me that's like, well, if I'm on this weightlifting program, I'm trying to get stronger, you know.
When's that next meet?
I don't know. I didn't look that far. The light turned green.
Right. Right. The light turned green.
The light turned green. But, you know, it's just like things like that you get.
All right. Well, so that's a good example. So you're an athlete who is hyper motivated.
Right.
Hyper focused.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still kind of tempted to kind of veer off your path,
yeah,
a little bit.
And it's not really like in the same way for the
but I don't think that's a bad thing, honestly. Yeah. Like, I don't think that's a bad thing. Because yeah, it's energizing you to train. So I mean, I think if the reason you're doing it is like genuine excitement and genuine, you know, energy and passion, I think it's always a good thing, whatever it is you're chasing. Mm-hmm. If the reason you're doing it is to get pats on the back, mm-hmm, and to
not good,
and to, you know, just avoid the grind, then I think it's, you're kidding yourself if you really think you're doing what you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, even if you think about the pats on the back or even the money, right, quote unquote, the money in CrossFit, you know, people talk about sponsorships or things like that, or even prize money at the games or the regional level. Or the team series.
Or the Iron October.
Or Iron October, whatever, you know, like just these massive purses that are just out there. But like Jason Klepa said, if you do this for the money, like there is just not enough money to do it for that reason. Like, you have to love the workouts. Like, you have to enjoy the process. And I don't know if this made it onto the podcast in recent episodes, but the idea, like my goal, and I'll put this out there on the podcast, is to podium at the CrossFit Games.
You've put that on the podcast.
Okay, good. So, but
it's out there again.
But I enjoy the process of the ebb and flow of trying to get there. Like, I don't just have to be there, and if I'm not, I'm unhappy. Like, I enjoy the process. And I think that people have to really learn to enjoy the process of whatever it is they're trying to do, or because if they don't, they're never going to get to their said goal, right? Like, it's just, they're going to get too distracted. If they don't enjoy the process, they're going to start veering off and doing the things that they like or the things that they're good at rather than the things that they need to do.
Yeah, I think it's true. And a lot of people don't like the process. I mean, I think there's very few people that genuinely like the process.
Yeah.
Because it's so painful. Like, CrossFit hurts. Most sports in the off season hurt, you know.
Yeah.
That's, you know, the stuff that you get to see as spectators is literally only the tip of the iceberg. And now that we have Instagram, you get to see maybe a few extra chunks of ice. But it's like you said, you've done 100 burpees 11 times in the last 20 days. Is that an exaggeration? That's a lot of burpees.
If I took out the last 4 days, it would be even more frequent than that.
Yeah.
I have a routine that I do for a warm-up.
Yeah.
I do 100 burpees before I warm up.
Calisthenics, bro.
Bro.
Getting it done.
I did 150 today before I warmed up, before I actually hit the barbell.
Smart. How long did it take you?
I just did 10.
10 every minute?
Yeah, for 15 minutes. Just with the shoulder, try to keep good position. Yeah. But, dude, 150 burpees never felt so easy. Like,
how strong your triceps
getting? So much better. I did that workout that you had posted at your gym. Actually, you did the 21, 18, 15, 12, 9, 6, 3, I think it was, back rack lunges and and hand release push-ups.
Yeah, how'd your butt feel?
Terrible. It actually still feels terrible.
Pretty sore, right?
Sitting here in this cushiony chair, it still feels terrible.
Did you beat my time?
No, I don't think so, because A, I don't. You're good at lunges, yeah. And B, we subbed it for my gym. We didn't do hand release push-ups. We did clapping push-ups.
Oh, why'd you do that?
Well, I didn't want to do the
exact. You just had to level it up.
I just had to level it up, but I didn't want to do the exact same thing.
Okay.
I didn't, you know, and so.
Well, that's not as fun, but okay. It's still very impressive. That's hard to do. Yeah.
It took me 1240.
Yeah.
Yeah,
1240. Took me 606.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different.
It took Jay 10 something. So one of my coaches, Jay, did in about 2 minutes faster than me. My shoulder stamina is not there.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude.
In my
plyometric push-ups like that on a torn up surgical roof, that's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, it might not be a good idea.
Well, I mean, you're okay, so maybe it wasn't bad, but
it's getting better.
Dude, nice shirt. What is that? Is that the original Wadapalooza shirt?
Yeah, this is a Wadapalooza shirt I got from 2 years ago. It's not the original Wadapalooza shirt. I was not there for that, but from 2 years ago.
I sent in my acceptance for the invitation.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. So do you have to declare what you're going to do or?
Yeah, so you accept your, you have to, when the invitations go out, you have to declare whether you're going to be an individual or a team. So I send it in as a team.
Right.
So I'm hoping to win Iron October for the third straight year. Three-peat. And then basically parlay that invitation on top of the one we already accepted.
Just show up so strong. Like you qualified twice. Like
qualified you're invited, twice.
Yeah. And then you qualified.
That's right.
Yeah.
We're not trying to take any handouts.
No. Like, that's good. That's good. You earned it. Dude, Iron October is bananas. It's bigger than it ever has been. So that's really great. Partly, because the guys at Wadapalooza are throwing that out there, that we could use it as a qualifier for the teams. We're at like 80 teams, so 80 pairs of people. It's 160. I think the highest we had before that was 64.
This is men and women?
This is men and women, yeah.
Both divisions.
And I had to cap it because we're doing it at my gym. You know, like I could probably get 120 teams if I wanted to. It's not too late to move the venue. We haven't had it yet, but I just don't really want to move the venue.
Next year,
exactly. There's just too many logistical things going on. Got the RV to deal with. So we want to make sure that the event goes down without any hitch, and it's all good.
Nice. Well, I think that's going to be it for today. We covered a lot of grounds. The Pope, off-season training.
Ben's religious beliefs. The fact he doesn't like actors getting super political drives him crazy.
Miniature soapboxes. That's also a topic on Ben's other podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to my other podcast.
If you guys want to follow us, if you're not already following us, you should be. Or at Beyond the Barbell on Instagram, beyondthebarbell.com for our newsletter, and on YouTube. All sorts of great content. And we'll be back at you guys next week. Thanks a lot.